in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Wola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, concluding the lecture, Spiritism. Mankind does not easily leave a middle course open to a medium. I am here speaking only of a medium who can be taken seriously, not of the numerous would-be mediums who try to push their insignificant abilities into the foreground. It is also far from my desire in any way to take the part of the great number of followers of mediums, because these who throng around mediums have real value only in very rare cases, with the exception of serious investigators who approach this unexplored region in order to learn and not ignorantly to pronounce judgment. To the greater number of the so-called believers, these visits or seances bring no progress, but rather stand still or retrogression. They become so dependent that they cannot decide anything themselves, but always want to get the advice of those in the beyond, often about the most ridiculous things, and mostly for earthly trivial. A serious investigator or an honest seeker will always be indignant at the incredible narrow-mindedness of those who for years have been constant visitors to mediums with whom they feel quite at home. With an exceedingly shrewd and superior ear, they talk the greatest nonsense and then sit with hypocritical devotion, enjoying the agreeable tinkling of the nerves, which they imagine to be owing to intercourse with invisible powers. Many mediums sun themselves in the flattering talk of such visitors who, in reality are only expressing a selfish wish to experience as much as possible themselves. The experiencing in their case, however, is only the same as hearing or seeing. In other words, being entertained. Nothing ever comes to real experience within them. What should a serious person take into consideration in such matters? 1. That a medium can contribute nothing whatever to ensure success apart from inwardly opening himself, that is, surrendering himself and then waiting. A medium is a tool who is used, an instrument which of itself cannot give forth any sound until it is played upon. Therefore, there can be no question of a so-called failure. He who talks in this way demonstrates narrow-mindedness, and he should keep his hands off. Nor should he express any opinion about any opinion, because he cannot judge in a matter. Just as he who finds learning arduous should avoid the university. A medium is therefore simply a bridge or a means to an end. 2. It is the visitors who play a great role in this, not by their outward standing or even by their social standing, but by their inner life. The inner life, as the greatest scoffers also realize, is a world of itself. Naturally, their intuitions, with their generative and nourishing thoughts, cannot just be nothing, but they must logically be ethereal bodies or things which, through pressure or influence, awaken intuitions which could not otherwise arise. Neither could pictures be seen in spirits where there is nothing. Just such a conception would indicate the greatest gap in the laws of the exact sciences. Thus, something must, and something is there. For the generative thought immediately creates in the ethereal world, thus in the beyond, corresponding forms, the density and vitality of which depend on the intuitive power of the generative thought concerned. Therefore, what is called the inner life of a man produces a corresponding and similarly formed environment around him. And it is this surrounding which must affect a medium who is more open and sensitive to the ethereal world, either in a pleasant or disagreeable, if not painful way. Thus, it may happen that messages from the ethereal world are not transmitted so correctly if the medium is hindered, oppressed, or confused by the presence of people who have an ethereally or spiritually impure inner life. But it goes still further. This impurity constitutes a barrier to purer ethereal matter, so that no message can be transmitted save one of an equally impure ethereal nature. With visitors who have a pure inner life, contact with a correspondingly pure ethereal environment is naturally possible. But everything different from that forms an unbridgeable gap. That is why such differences exist in the so-called sciences, often bringing about complete failure or causing confusion. This all rests on inexorable, purely physical laws, which operate in exactly the same way in the beyond as they do in this world. The unfavorable reports of investigators are now seen in a different light, and he who is able to observe the ethereal happenings must smile at many an investigator who, in his report, pronounces judgment on himself, opposing his own inner life, and only criticizing the state of his own soul. Here is a second example. A man visits a medium. It happens that a departed relative speaks to him through the medium. He asks his advice, perhaps on quite an important earthly matter. The departed one gives him a few directions, which the visitor looks upon as gospel truth, as a revelation from the beyond, which he obeys minutely, with the result that he is taken in and often suffers heavy damage. What is the result? The visitor will first of all doubt the medium. In his disappointment and perhaps annoyance at his loss, he may work against the medium. In some cases, he will even feel obliged to proceed publicly against him in order to save others from similar loss and deception. In connection with this, I should now explain life in the beyond. How, by doing this, such a person opens himself to similar ethereal currents through the attraction of what is spiritually homogeneous, and how, as a tool of such countercurrents, he may then develop into fanatic in the proud consciousness of standing up for the truth, thereby rendering a great service to mankind. In reality, however, he makes himself a slave to impurity and burdens himself with a karma which it will take a lifetime and more to redeem. New threats will continue to emerge from this, weaving a net in which he will entangle himself, until finally he can no longer find his way about, and in his antagonism becomes increasingly furious. Or, if the disappointed visitor does not regard the medium as a swindler, he will at least have great doubts about the entire, or may take the usual easy road, as thousands do, and say, "What concern of mine is the other world? Let others rack their brains about it. I have better things to do." The better things, however, are serving the physical body by acquiring wealth and thus withdrawing still further from ethereal things. Where, then, does the actual guilt lie? Again, only with man himself. He had formed a false picture when he had accepted what had been said as gospel truth. That was his fault alone. Nobody else was to blame. He had taken it for granted that a departed spirit, by virtue of its ethereal nature, became at the same time partly omniscient, or at least possessed greater knowledge. Many hundreds of thousands make this mistake. The only additional knowledge that a departed being possesses following his transformation is that he has not really ceased to exist after so-called death. But that is all. So long as he makes no use of the opportunity to advance in the ethereal world, which also depends on his own free decision, as well as on his honest and diligent efforts. So, when he is questioned about worldly matters, he will give his opinion with the good intention of fulfilling the wish of the questioner, convinced that he is giving the best advice. But he himself is not conscious of the fact that he is in no position to judge material matters and conditions as clearly as a man still living there in flesh and blood, because he lacks the gross material substance which is absolutely necessary to form a proper judgment. His view of the matter, therefore, must be quite a different one. Still, he gives what he can and with the best intention, the best he knows. Thus, neither he nor the medium can be blamed, nor is he a lying spirit. In fact, we should distinguish only between knowing and unknowing spirits. For as soon as a spirit sinks, that is, becomes more impure and dense, its horizon simultaneously and automatically narrows. He gives and expresses only what he feels, and he lives only with his intuition, not with his calculating intellect, which he no longer possesses, since this was bound to his earthly brain and thereby limited to space and time. As soon as that fell away at death, there was no more thinking and reflecting for him, but solely intuitive sensing and immediate and continuous experiencing. The fault lies with those who still ask about earthly matters bound to space and time from those who are no longer so limited and who therefore cannot understand. Those in the beyond are in a position to discern what is the right or wrong course in any matter. But then man must weigh and consider with his earthly aids, that is, with his intellect and experience, how best to follow the right course. Must bring it into accord with earthly possibilities. That is his work. Even when a spirit who has fallen deeply gets the opportunity of influencing and speaking, nobody can say that he lies or tries to mislead, for he reflects what he lives and tries to convince others of it as well. He cannot give anything else. Thus, there are innumerable errors in the conceptions of spiritists. Spiritism has come into great disrepute, not of itself, but through the majority of its adherents, who, after only a few and often very meager experiences, enthusiastically imagine that the veil has been drawn aside for them. Then they eagerly try to make others happy with a picture of eternal life which they thought out themselves, which was created by an unbridled imagination, and which, above all, completely satisfies their own wishes. But these pictures are seldom in complete accord with the truth. End of quote. You're just listening to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message can be Grail Land in New Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail Message. Date, Sunday, 7th of June, 2015. Venue, CEC, University of Nigeria, Nsukka. Topic is based on the Grail Message. Also on Sunday, 28th of June, 2015. Venue of lecture is Grail Information Center, number 22, Ajao Road, of Awolowo Way, Ikeja, Lagos. Topic, Our Destiny Lies in Our Hands. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we are in the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298. Or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. Okay, we have some text messages already. Let's start with that. Somebody asked, is it right to say, Miss Gentle soul, rest in peace? It is not right to say his soul should rest in peace. In actual fact, there is no rest in the entire creation. In the entire creation, there is always movement. So when you say somebody should rest, it's not a prayer. Rather, one should say that may his gentle soul be permitted to experience joyful activity in the beyond, because there is activity in the entire creation. It's just like somebody here on earth, and you are pushing him to always to be sleeping all the time. That is not best wish for a person. So it's because of lack of knowledge and ignorance in things of the spiritual that up to now human beings still talk about rest in peace. But there is no rest in creation. There is always movement. Okay, another text message here. Bible says, what we know is in part. When the perfect one comes, the one in part shall be done away. What is the perfect one to come? Now, the perfect one to come is the Grail Message. When Paul wrote to Corinthians and said that, for we know in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. He was referring to this new message. But it is only those who are genuinely seeking who will recognize it. Ahmed is calling from Ikotun.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Hello, doctor.
Yes, you are on.
I want to know the perspective of Grail Message to Emily or Kong or Banjin Igonat. If it really exists, how can it affect human beings?
Okay.
Not the solution to it.
All right. Now, Emery Ogbanji and so on. These are people who people say that they come, they live short life, and then they die, then they form groups and so on. But from the knowledge given to mankind in the Great Message, the reason why children die young is also explained. Principally, the fault lies with the woman. It is the woman, due to her delicate intuition, who is able to act as a bridge for souls to cross from the beyond to this world. But if this bridge is defective, especially when woman tries to be like a man, then she will bring forth children that are not strong and healthy, children that are liable to illness and die young. So that is the reason. Of course, also, we have souls that are also frivolous souls who do not take things serious, who come and so on. But the main fault lies with the woman. All right. Simon is calling from Ikorodu. Hello, Simon.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Go on, please.
So my question is this. That is in the book of Exodus.
All right.
From the Ten Commandments, where it is said that remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is some people worship on Saturdays and while others worship on Sunday. Does it mean that those people that worship on Sundays do not keep the Sabbath day holy? I want to be clarified on that.
All right. Now, the Sabbath day is the day of rest. So you should not be one-sided in that understanding of it. The day of rest, one day in a seven-day week. So you decide which day you want it to be. It can be a Saturday, a Sunday, or a Friday, or whichever day. But one day in the week. The importance of the Sabbath day is this. You know that we are here on earth like on a journey. And the way you can measure up your progress is through the milestones. When you are going on a journey from Lagos to Kano, for example, you see the milestones on the road that will tell you from you are about so kilometers to the next town and so on. So that is what the Sabbath day is meant to be in our life's journey. On that Sabbath day, that day of rest, we are to reflect on the past 6 days. How far we are living in accordance with the will of our Creator, where we have failed and where we have done well, so that we then know how we continue to understand and live according to the will of the Almighty. That is what the Sabbath day is meant to be. To keep it holy means not to waste it. That's the meaning. Don't waste it. It is not when you go to the church or the mosque that the priest can make the Sabbath day holy for you. It is you who can make it holy. That is, do not waste it. Use it as a means of self-communion to reflect on your life, so that every Sabbath day then becomes a milestone in a man's journey through this earth life. It's like a step ladder you climb gradually, and then he will use it to be able to find his way eventually when he leaves the flesh. That is the meaning of to keep the Sabbath day holy. So don't be one-sided and say some people worship on Sunday and some on Saturday. What is meant is a commandment of the Almighty Creator. It is to all human beings. All human beings. So it is not to one particular denomination or one particular people who are worshiping certain religion. No. So that is the real essence of keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't waste it. One day in a week, reflect on the life you have led in the past 6 days and how it accords with the will of the Almighty Creator. Okay, another text message here. Yes, I've talked about somebody says that when the perfect one comes, for we know in part, but when the perfect one comes, the one that is in part shall be done away. The perfect one is the great message, and it is only those who are genuinely seeking who recognize it. Okay, another text. Can animals find themselves in the beyond like humans? Yes, animals have souls, and their own goal in art life is also for development. But the goal of the animal is to make its form to become to make its form to become solidified. When the animal dies, after a shorter or longer period, the soul of the animal will dissolve into the group soul of the animals and bring into that group soul the heat and the experience it has gained while on earth. When an animal is to incarnate, it detaches itself from the group soul and enters the physical cloak. So the goal of the animal is to finally, eventually have a solid, uniform and constant form. And they also have their own realm in the beyond. Alright, sorry. Bola is calling from Abuja. Hello, Bola.
Hello.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, hello, sir.
Good day.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes. My question is this, sir. Are you listening to me, sir?
I'm listening.
Are you listening, sir?
I am listening to you.
Yes, sir. I said that the background, sir, made us to understand that God, the Almighty, forgives of our sins. And when Adam and Eve committed that sin, which resulted into our death today, because we are made to understand that it was that sin that bring death to us. Why, sir, that God has not forgiven us of that sin that we are still dying to today? Why have you not been forgiven? That's my question, sir.
All right. Now, you must understand it in a different light from now on. The way you understand the matter is not the right one. The forgiveness of sin, many have been wrongly taught wrongly, either through the church or even through the mosque, that believing that severity is not part of divinity. That is to say, they believe that when you sin against the Almighty Creator, you kneel down, go on your knees and say Holy Mary or say Asta Gafirulai, and then imagine that once you do that, the Almighty forgives you. But forgetting that forgiveness also lies in justice. Somebody stole another person's property, and then he now turns to his creator and asks the creator to forgive him. And that because he has prayed, the Lord has forgiven him. He has forgotten that the one you have stolen his property, the hurt, the pain you have caused him, who's going to compensate that person? Who? So, forgiveness lies in justice. Justice lies in forgiveness. So forgiveness of sin is not the way human beings imagine it. A man will only be forgiven his sin when he has paid the penalty for it. That is, when he has received the consequences. Then, if he accepts those consequences joyfully and without grumbling, then before the laws of the Creator, his records is wiped clean. He's forgiven his sins. That is how forgiveness comes into being. It is not one-sided. Or if, for example, you sin against your neighbor, it is only that your neighbor you have sinned against that has the power to forgive you. That was the meaning when Jesus told his disciples, whosoever sins you forgive, it is forgiven unto them. Jesus did not give the disciples a general license to go about forgiving sins arbitrarily. It is only those who have sinned against them that they have the power to forgive. So it is wrong to say that the Almighty forgives arbitrarily. Now back to your question concerning that Adam and Eve, they sinned, and then because they sinned, they have been dying since. The sin, you see, Adam and Eve itself is also a pictorial rendering, a picture, an allegory of the coming into being of man and woman into the physical world. And when God told them, do not eat from a certain fruit from the tree in the garden, he was talking to them that they should not overdevelop their intellect. Their intellect is that which gives ability to understand earthly things. But they should always remember their intuition. But man neglected to obey the law. If he developed the intellect, then he did not understand the spiritual anymore. And that's why he caught himself in spiritual in paradise. But the earthly death is a natural process. Everybody that comes to this world must die. There is no way. You have to die. But the spiritual death is the one that is final, which occurs in the final judgment. All right. Barrister Dan is calling from Igodo. Hello.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Barrister Dan is calling from Igodo.
Okay.
So, my question, sir, is one. I want you to throw more light on the term rapture. And secondly, what does it take for one to partake in rapture?
All right.
These are my questions.
Now, rapture is also a misunderstood expression. Rapture is a state of the most supreme bliss, supreme happiness of the human spirit. That is rapture. Those human spirits who are in paradise constantly live in it, constantly experience this state of supreme happiness. Therefore, for man to experience rapture, he has to actually recognize the Almighty Creator. It is in therein that you have the state of supreme bliss for the human spirit. But the concept of rapture many have is that the Lord will come and appear in the sky, and those of you will rise like hot air balloon to meet him in the sky, and then they are raptured. But that is not how it will take place. The physical body cannot rise like hot air balloon into the air. What is meant actually in that is that it is only souls that are living according to the will of the Almighty that will thereby be light, and what is light and pure will naturally rise. So, but not with the physical body. It is the purity of the soul that will make it to become light, and thereby when it leaves the flesh, it will fly to that region in the ethereal world and even in the beyond that where it belongs. So think of it, first we must learn to recognize the laws of our Creator and live accordingly. Alright, another text message is here. When death approaches, is it good to put somebody on a life support machine? Well, there is nothing wrong in it. We must always support life to the best of our ability. In any case, when the soul no longer radiates into the physical body and detaches itself, that body will crumble, irrespective of what life support you give to it. The moment the soul leaves it, the body will crumble, because the body is only a cloak enveloping the soul or the spirit itself. All right, another caller is here. Sam is calling from his solo. Hello, Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hello?
Yeah, you are on, Sam.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah. Doc, I want you to throw more light on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into fire by Herod, and the fire did not burn them.
Yes.
I want to know more about it. Did were they truly thrown into the fire?
Yes. Now, and what? All right. Shadrach and Abednego and his colleagues. Yes, there were three of them. They were pure Israelites. And then the king threw them into the fire. Yes, it actually happened. But they saw four persons in the fire. Now, the fourth in this instance is the elemental being who now gave them protection. Because the king himself says, are they not three people we threw into the fire? But there are four people here. What happened? So it is also a manifestation of the workings of the elementals. Due to the faith these ones have, they were able to be protected. Another question. Where were the continents that sunk located in today's world map? That is Atlantis. Yeah, the remnants of Atlantis you find in where you call Greenland, Spitsbergen, and Novaya Zemlya. So those are the remnants of those that Atlantis, the continent that sank. And of course, due to the activity of the elemental forces, this continent that sank is also being raised, and gradually, eventually, it is surface again. Another text question. What is the will of God? Yes, when Jesus Christ said, it is not those who call me Lord, Lord, that will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. The will of it manifests as the laws of creation. There are three basic laws of this creation. The law of sowing and reaping, that's one. The law of homogeneous species, which says that birds of the same feather flock together. And the law of spiritual gravity, which says that what is pure is light and it must rise. What is impure is dense and it must sink.
Hello?
All right, Joseph is calling from Lugbe in Abuja. Hello, Joseph. Hello, Joseph.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Hello, sir.
Yes, go on, please.
Yeah, so I think it is that
to protect yourself with other powers, charms, and so on. The moment you do that, you are only marking yourself for an attack of the darkness. There is no other power than the Almighty Creator. So why do you want to get protection from something that is less than the most powerful? Turn to your Creator. He alone can protect you. There is no other power. Well, if you go to the other way, seek power, protection from something that is less, you only mark yourself for an attack for the darkness. All right, another text message here. Did Christ actually walk on the water? No, Jesus Christ did not walk on water. It's not possible for a physical body to walk on water. The physical laws are against it. And the physical laws themselves take their bearing from the laws of the Almighty Creator. So it's not possible to walk on water. And Jesus Christ did not walk on water. Okay, another text here. Are some people destined to be rich and others destined to be poor? Yeah, destiny lies in our hands, though. Because the Lord says, what you sow is what you reap. So those who have sown good, then they are destined to reap good. Those who have sown evil, they are also destined to reap evil. This law of sowing and reaping is what Jesus said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. But this reaping may not necessarily be in the same earth life. And the reaping can still come in the same earth life. It can come when man leaves the flesh and enter the beyond, or when man reincarnates. So in a particular earth life, only a small section of the reaping takes place. But now, because we are in that period of long prophesied final judgment, all cycles are closing. All the things we have done that has come to life since our creation, in our thoughts, words, and deeds, the cycles are closing. And that is why we are experiencing what we are experiencing in the world today. We are in the final judgment. Why is it that white people are more developed than black people in technology? Well, the white people have developed their intellect to a very high extent. But technology, you must also understand, is not the same thing as spirituality. It's nothing to do with spirit. Okorafor is calling from Ikorodu.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Dr.
Good evening. Good evening.
You are doing a great job, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
I want to understand this. Number one.
Yeah.
How does one know the purpose of God about his or her life? Then, number two. Owing to the law of homogeneity, the poor are attracted. Then, owing to the law of homogeneity, I'm confused in this. The poor are attracted to the rich. So why is it like that? Because the poor and the rich, they are not the same.
How do you mean by how do you mean that poor are attracted to the rich? What do you mean by that?
So when in this life now, the poor people go to the rich to collect. So they are always looking up to the rich to solve their own problem, to help them.
So
that's where I'm confused.
All right, okay. Now, let me take that last question first. It is not the law of attraction of homogeneous species. It is not in terms of when somebody who is rich or poor goes to the one who is rich. It has to do with the species. It has to do with the character. It has to do with the nature of the person. So, a good person will be attracted to another good person. If you were to attend a conference and there are many people there, before the official opening of that conference, you will see already the people will form groups. Even though all of them may have one aim for coming for that conference, but immediately they form groups of three or four and fives. It's automatic. These groups that people have formed is already the law of attraction of homogeneous species that is working. So those who have the similar opinions and convictions, you just automatically group themselves together. So it is in that way that law. It is this a law of attraction of homogeneous species. It is a great guardian of order in the entire creation. A law that ensures that villages are formed, towns, countries, nations, and so on, according to their homogeneity. When a soul is striding towards this earth, it is this same law that will attract him to that particular region of the earth, to that particular tongue and tribe and the family, according to the law of homogeneity, and where he needs to experience. That is that law. But to the one where rich the poor people go to the rich, because that's only for survival. If the rich man does not have anything to give them anymore, they won't go there. So that is just that's not the law there. Then your first question, the purpose of God about one's life. Our purpose here primarily is to develop spiritually, and we can only do that when we learn to recognize the word of God and live accordingly. You see, for that reason the Almighty has been sending teachers, prophets, finally sent our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us the word of life. So our purpose is to develop spiritually, to recognize His will, so that we can then grow and mature. Only then can we be permitted to return back to our spiritual paradise. Okay, let's call. If Ephraim is calling from Cyprian, sorry, he's calling from Abuja. Hello, Cyprian. Hello, yeah, Cyprian. Hello. Yes. Good evening.
Yeah. Okay, my question is this.
Yes, go on.
I want you to highlight on the issue of the that is a woman cannot put color for the man. Rather than not put color for the woman. I want to highlight on that issue.
I can't get you. Hey, wait. Before you go to your second question, what is the first one? Please say it again. Your first question.
My first question is about the Bible. The Bible says something in the book of Deuteronomy that appears to the five.
That?
You say a woman cannot put 100% the man.
Man should do what?
What is 100% the man? That is a man with all man garments.
Okay, a woman should not dress like a man. Okay. Yes, a woman should not dress like a man, and a man should not dress like a woman. Yes, that is how it should be. What's the question there? So what's your question about that? Oh, to throw more light on it. Okay, to throw more light. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. What particular thing is that whatever the wear protects itself.
Whatever.
The protects itself. You know, that is something that a man can put 100% the man, and that a woman put 100% the man.
So. Okay. You see, you are still talking about the dressing. Okay, all right. Let's answer that question.
Hello,
go on.
Yeah, I think the question is about drinking of alcohol. The person who is not drink, yeah, you cannot drink any specific drink. Any specific beer.
Okay, all right. So let's answer that question. The first question, dressing. A woman should dress like a woman and should not copy man. Neither should man copy woman in his dressing. It is not for nothing that woman and man are separate. The nature of the activity is what determines the form. When somebody is active in the activity, is in the active form, it takes on a male form. And when it is in a passive form, it takes on a female form. So it is these two forms, male and female, that are the form, the two arms of the cross, the equal arm cross. The vertical beam representing the masculine activity, the horizontal beam representing the feminine activity. But unfortunately today, because of the degeneration of the human race, many people have turned into so many things. For example, gay. Somebody says it's right for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. These are the drones that will be destroyed in the judgment because they do not comply with the will of the Almighty Creator. And to your second question, yes, one can drink alcohol, but it should be in moderation. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples the Last Supper, bread and wine. Wine is alcohol. Well, everything was being in moderation. Okay, let's take another text message here. What are the hindrances to prayers and how can one manage hatred? The hindrances to prayer is when you pray and your heart is not in the prayer. So before you pray, let it come from deep within your soul. And then pray in purity. Pray in silence. Don't make your prayer to be manifold. A child does not run to his father asking for seven things at the same time. He will ask for only that which truly worries it. So to make a prayer manifold, Lord, save this one. Lord, help this one. It brings about confusion even in prayer. So only for that thing which really worries you, that's what you pray about. And then you pray in the corner of your room. Don't repeat and repeat the sentences like the pagans do. Jesus Christ has told us how to pray. We should just follow it. Now, we are coming to the end of today's transmission. And let's remind our listeners, public lectures coming up. And the date, Sunday, 7th of June, 2015. Venue, CEC, University of Nigeria. Topic is based on the Grail message. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. Also on Sunday, 28th of June, 2015. Venue, Grail Information Center, 22 Ajao Road, off Awolowo, Ikeja, Lagos. Topic, Our Destiny Lies in Our Hands. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, after this program, for those who may still wish to interact with us, our website is www.truthofliferadio.com. Email, info@truthofliferadio.com. Telephone numbers, 0705-298-0298 or 0033-315-7493. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I'm Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you good evening.